Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Hate the most, probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
When they talk about the greatest team in the history of the sport, make sure it's your team. If you have only one hand, don't just watch football. Play it at the highest level. And if you're a girl from Compton, don't just become a tennis player. Become the greatest athlete ever. Yeah, that's more like it. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Well, well, well.
That
was sneaky offensive. I just noticed that.
Why is it offensive?
Become the best athlete ever? Whoa, whoa, whoa. There is only one person who will ever be considered the greatest athlete ever, and that's Bo Jackson. So get your facts straight, Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I would say Michael Jordan could be put up
maybe
there
he's
as well.
The greatest basketball player ever. Yeah. Greatest athlete, Bo Jackson.
I think, I'm not going to argue on Bo.
Well, you already are, so stop it.
No, I'm not. Listen, I got to see him up close when they came into Foxborough in 88 with the L.A. Raiders kids under the age of 25. Yes, they used to play in L.A. back in the day. They'll be in Vegas next year. And he and Marcus Allen came in here, man, and they were wearing the white jerseys that day. And the Patriots, of course, were in their classic old-school Pat Patriot uniforms with the red. And Bo was amazing. I mean, that guy was just... You know, and it's sad because, not to get off topic here, but like...
You get off topic? No.
No, in the playoff game, it just seemed like it was a hit pointer. And it was the end of his career.
No, they literally said on the broadcast, I was sitting there as a little kid, and they said, you know, he'll be fine for next week. That's a hit pointer. He'll be fine. He'll just, you know, rest this week. He'll be back next week. And they had to remove the hip. Literally had to take out his hip.
Sad, man. It's so unfortunate because... And, you know, Andy and I being in our 40s, that we will tell you, kids, if you miss Bo Jackson, you did miss arguably, if or inarguably, according to Andy, the greatest athlete in the history of sports. I'm not going to argue. You know what? Listen, Michael Jordan, he certainly, you know, in terms of athlete, though, Bo, to be able to excel. Bo, see, primetime was great, too, but Deion didn't excel at what... Deion wasn't an all-star in baseball.
Right.
Like he was... the greatest cover corner in NFL history, but he wasn't. So,
but you could argue, this is more of an argument. You could argue that Bo is the greatest runner of the football. He's in that conversation. Now, you never got to see it happen because such a short career and half seasons, even when he did play, when he would arrive mid-year from the Royals, but just pure ability with size, speed, breakaway ability, the things he could do on a football field, you could have argued had he played, you know, just an average 10-year, 16-game schedule, you may have been talking about him as one of the greatest runners to ever play. It might have been Barry Sanders, Bo Jackson, Jim Brown. You know, that might have been the conversation. We never got to see that. And that's the sad part. But it's also part of why he's considered so great. It was such a burn hot, burn out short run that we never got to see maybe more warts. Because in baseball, he would strike out more than anybody. I mean, he would have fit in this era, this whole era of launch angle and either hit it 500 feet or strike out. That's what Bo was good at.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we would have looked at some of the warts, but just, I also think if he played in this era of social media and watching highlights every night on Instagram and Twitter and all this, like He would have been such a global superstar because of just he's a Greek god. Like, you look at him in his time and the size and the muscle, but the ability to run a 4.240 or whatever stupid number he could run. I know I get off on this rant every Saturday, but Bo is
You know what? You know what? I'm just, I don't have a TV in front of me. I'm imagining that College game day. Are they at Auburn right now? And you know you're going to see Bo today because George is in town and George is playing Auburn. So, you know, Bo was the guest picker earlier in the season. And I would imagine that, hey, listen, you don't have to ever apologize for talking. And
plus, his commercials are pretty good now. The Heisman House commercials with Mayfield, races the smart speaker and then he loses and they go, uh-oh, Bo's mad.
Right. Or how about the original commercial for Nike where, hey, Bo knows basketball.
Yep.
Bo knows football. And then at the end of the commercial, Gretzky, who was with the Kings at the time, the LA Kings, goes, no.
Right.
No, he doesn't know hockey. Stop it. But he probably could have if he did it at a young age coming out of the state of Alabama and, of course, Auburn University where he won the Heisman Trophy. And, of course, kids, if you want to just look up one thing, YouTube Bo Jackson ending Brian Bosworth's career on Monday Night Football because it was awesome.
Bo is a fun rabbit hole on YouTube. Just start watching clips. Start with that. Go to some of the other stuff and just the flat-footed throws in Seattle from the wall and some of the things he did in baseball, just silliness. Kids today, they don't even know what they could have had.
So the NFL today, according right now, the running tally, there will be 25 teams looking at Colin Kaepernick today in Atlanta, but head coaches and GMs, more than likely, most of them will not be there due to the fact because they're getting ready for tomorrow's games or if they're playing on Monday night. So they wanted to do it on Saturday. They gave it short notice. Eric Reed, who's good friends with Colin Kaepernick, he's with the Carolina Panthers. He thinks it's sort of a sham, and
it is
sort of a sham.
But it's also an opportunity. That's just the reality.
Finally,
it can be both, right?
Right. But here's the thing, and the guy's been on the league now come January for 3 years. The last game he played was January 6, 2017. So you could basically round that up. It's pretty much 3 years. And I want to ask this question. Has the NFL, other than the year of 2017, where due to which really hit a bleep storm thanks to Colin Kaepernick of players kneeling, and then the ratings fell off, but the NFL did what the NFL does. They rebounded like tenfold last year. The ratings were through the roof. The revenue was through the roof. They're back on track. They're higher than ever. Sunday Night Football is the number one rated television program every year. Actually, it counts for the top 15 out of 20 television programs every year. Sunday Night Football is up there. So has the NFL thrived and prospered without Colin Kaepernick? Yes. So let me ask you this question. I want to ask you this, Andy Hart, is that why is there a desirous need to have him back in the league, or is this the NFL kowtowing to the social justice warrior establishment?
Well, I think the interesting thing here is it's been proposed that this could have been part of the settlement. You know, that's what Michael Irvin told us on Dale and Keefe on Friday, that he thinks this was buried somewhere in the fine print of the settlement, that they would do this for him. Now, I don't know that I buy that because I don't know that it would be thrown together so haphazardly and seemingly rushed into from his perspective if this were part of his settlement in the lawsuit with Eric Reed. So I don't know. My immediate reaction, this was Tuesday, I guess, Tuesday evening we found out about this. Yep. And now we're 4 days later. My reaction is the same. Why this? Why now? I quite frankly don't understand it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So let me just give everybody out there. I was going to say you people, but I'm trying to not get that out of my thing because
I don't mind carrying you for the first 10 minutes of the show. Yeah. I'd prefer not to have to do the whole 4 hours by myself.
Right. Well, then now you know how I feel every week. So,
how'd you feel listening to me? You've said the worst, most regrettable thing for you would be listening to me. You had to listen to me, right? Or were you not even, could you even hear me?
I can hear you for part of it. Yeah, okay. You guys can hear me. So
I proved that what you do, not that hard.
Oh, yeah, sure. Everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. Just like serving fries at a fast food drive-thru. All right, so let me get to the numbers on Colin Kaepernick here, just so the entire audience out there can sort. These are just facts. This is not an opinion, okay? Let's start with this. He's made anywhere between $39 million to over $40 million guaranteed in his career. He's never thrown for 25 touchdown passes in a season. He's never had a 4,000-yard passing season. He's actually never had a fourth-quarter comeback. This is all true. I've looked all this up. Now,
I hope it's true. You're saying it.
In his last two seasons that he played, which were 2015 and 2016, his record as a starting quarterback were 3-16. In 2016, he was 1-10, and he completed less than 60% of his passes as a starting quarterback. He lost his job to a dude who looks like he was Sunshine from Remember the Titans and Blaine Gabbert. So why now? I think Michael Irvin nailed it. I think a lot of people that this is part of the settlement. So the NFL said, well, we gave you your chance. You know, the whole thing, I think this is a dog and pony show. Now, I asked the question, and I broached this to everybody. At 617-779-7937, the Patriots are going to be there today. Now, we don't know how Jarrett Stidham will be one day, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick, and now that you're seeing Lamar Jackson, the guy who was picked one picked after Phony Michelle, becoming one of the top three MVP candidates in the league, well, people are saying that Colin Kaepernick was Lamar Jackson. No. First of all, Michael Vick was Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson. Colin Kaepernick was I will give him credit, though. 7 seasons ago, he did lead the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, where they lost to Baltimore because Randy Moss got alligator arms and Michael Crabtree dropped a big pass. But why do we need to see Colin Kaepernick in the NFL? Because I'll tell you right now, if you're one of these 32 owners of a private entity, even the Green Bay Packers included, that this guy, now, even though his jersey sales, I'll admit, probably be the number one selling jersey in the league. Whatever franchise he went to, even if it was the Bengals, who I would tell you of all the teams there, for them, for the final 7 games, bringing Kaepernick, why the hell? What do you have to lose other than the number one draft pick? But why is this so important to see Colin Kaepernick back in the NFL is beyond the realm of comprehension. I don't get it.
Well, I think you don't want history to just accept the fact that he was blackballed from the league. I don't think you want that. You want it to at least be a debate, a topic, a question. And if you put him, if this becomes a, you know, little part of the timeline of Colin Kaepernick, you know, whatever today is, November 16, 2019, league organized pro day for him, got 25 NFL franchises to show up, decision makers, whatever, scouts, to give him a chance to get back in the league. At least you muddy the water. Because I do think otherwise, history would just look back and say, yeah, remember they blackballed him? Yeah, he did that kneeling thing, and then he never was able to get back in the league, even though Eric Reed got back in the league and others. You know, Michael Bennett's on the Cowboy, blah, 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 blah. You know, I think you're just trying to muddy the water of history and say, yep, we gave him his chance. No one wanted him.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that's what this dog and pony
show today. Because he is good enough, correct? We can admit that he is good enough to get a chance. I wouldn't want him for the Patriots because mostly, and again, I get down to sort of the basics. I know you'd have to consider all the financial ramifications and boycotts and whatever, but he's 32 years old, so now when you need him, he's going to be 33 years old. Mm-hmm. What do I get out of it? I was never a Kaepernick fan. I never thought he was that good.
No. Me neither. But you mentioned one thing last which I wish that you would apply to this, which I'm going to apply to this, is that for the NFL, yes, his jersey, I'll admit, probably be the number one selling jersey in the NFL. But for the local team owners and the brushback and the protest, do you ever want, and the same thing I said with Tebow. Now, the difference between Kaepernick and Tebow is that Kaepernick actually has a skill set that, is he one of the top 60 quarterbacks in the world even after having not played for 3 years? Yes,
probably
he
yes.
is. I would probably venture to say, would you want Colin Kaepernick, or who's no longer in the league, but he did start against the Patriots, Luke Falk? Do you want Colin Kaepernick or Austin Davis? Do you want some of these jabronis who they get? I don't know where these guys come from. Yes, you do. I just, for me, it comes down to this, is that you don't want your backup quarterback to get more attention than your starting quarterback, and this turn into a Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus.
Or even
that's exactly what it would be.
Or even your mediocre starter. Like you say a team, say the Bengals. Well, if he's good, what do you accomplish? Well, your draft pick goes down. Like if you signed him right now, your draft pick goes down if he wins a couple games.
Well, they'd have to win, though.
No, I know, but what if he's good? Right. I'm just saying, best case scenario for him, he proves that he can still play, he can still run, he can still create with his feet, and his arm. There, I don't see that as a positive long-term for the Bengals, and you've probably done some negative long-term damage in terms of fans that are boycotting and all of those things. I always get back to, you know, a simple comparison. If Russell Wilson had kneeled during the national anthem and were, whatever, cut by the Seahawks because of it, would Russell Wilson be in the league?
Yes.
He would be.
Yes.
Because he's better. You know, we had Rex Ryan was on our station the other day on part of the Fourier 25 for 25. And he just sort of chuckles. You know, he wasn't that good, Colin Kaepernick. He wasn't that good.
That's the whole thing. He had a nice little flash in the pan.
He's Mark Sanchez. They both had these nice little runs. The difference is Sanchez didn't get to the Super Bowl, but he went to a couple NFC title games, got to a Super Bowl. I mean, history could have shown he's basically one pass away from being a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Correct?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
that's what he is, but that doesn't mean you're good. That doesn't mean, there's been bad quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Well, here's the thing, too, and the one thing, and we're going to get right to the phone calls at 617-779-7937, is that Colin Kaepernick, and I've talked to some pro athletes and guys who have come from lower socioeconomic areas and who've literally come from the Colin Kaepernick grew up better than you and I did, or most people out there. He grew up with a white family in a really upper middle class suburb in Wisconsin. He didn't go through what a lot of guys who have, you know, whether it's Adrian Peterson or Edgerrin James and Immokalee or Amari Cooper in Liberty City and Antonio Brown. There's another guy. They didn't grow up in an environment. So, like, for you to come off now, like, you didn't sacrifice everything. You didn't sacrifice, like, you sacrificed, okay, 3 years, which you certainly got paid for, because here's the thing. Muhammad Ali did sacrifice everything, because you know what? He was stripped away of the heavyweight title, and he couldn't box for, like, 3 or 4 years, and he really did lose everything. You're getting a Nike campaign behind you. You didn't sacrifice really anything. So that's the thing. Like, in this situation, he's portrayed as a martyr and a victim. But I don't think that he realized when he first did this what it would result in. Now, looking back, do I think that he would have, knowing that what he's gained out of this, and he's become the poster child of oppression, sticking up for oppression and everything? Oh, and I didn't even get to the part where the fact that for a guy who sticks up for oppression, wore a Fidel Castro T-shirt in Miami after a game against the Dolphins, and when in terms of it being a slap in the face to all Cuban Americans down in Miami who had to deal with this dictator for years until he died a few years ago. Do you know, like, that's like wearing a Hitler T-shirt outside a synagogue? That's so disrespectful. You've got to have more of a sense of awareness. Oh, not to mention the fact that he wore pigs on his socks with that had police hats depicting cops. So there's that as well. So if you're an NFL, if you're Robert Kraft, no, I don't want him here in New England. If I'm Jerry Jones, sure as hell no, I don't want him in Dallas. I think some of the only cities where I actually thought he would work in, like you mentioned one, Seattle. I think he would, but then again, they passed on him. Baltimore, Steve Bisciotti 3 years ago when Joe Flacco got hurt. They were looking at him, and then he got basically told by a bunch of season ticket holders, there's no way if you bring him here, we are boycotting your team. That's what you're going to get with this guy. All right, right to the phone, 617-779-7937. One thing about me and Hart, we are very long-winded.
One of us is. You can say that again.
Yeah, okay there, whatever. Let's go to Sam in Keene, New Hampshire. What's up, Sam?
Hey there, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, I don't think either of you believe it's a First Amendment or free speech issue, and I think I can demonstrate that pretty easily, although the Kaepernick discussion kind of makes that point, because now you're saying private entities shouldn't employ Kaepernick because of his behavior, which is fine, and I agree with, but
they have the right to, Sam.
Right, but you're saying it's a free speech or First Amendment issue, correct?
I am, but I'm saying that these private entities, they aren't governed by any type of state or federal type regulations. They have the complete autonomy and latitude to not employ somebody because they feel as though it would be bad for their bottom line financially.
Well, what's the difference between that and the Don Cherry incident?
No, I believe it's the same. I believe all the answers to these questions for me is green, is money.
But Don Cherry's 85 years old, and Don Cherry, where Colin Kaepernick still could possibly play. We don't know this, but he could play.
And Don Cherry may work again, too, right? I mean, another TV, broadcast, internet,
you know what?
Anybody could hire him.
I have four letters. I think he would fit in great. Nesson. I would love to see him on Bruins. No, I'm serious. How people in Boston, we were to bring back grapes to Nesson. Don Cherry loves Boston, the city of Boston, New England, and the Bruins more than anything. So there's that. But, you know, the correlation, I don't really see it, but and the thing of the thing about Colin Kaepernick is that I just want to just reiterate this. He's not Muhammad Ali at all. So you just got to, like, that's the only thing that I like, he did not sacrifice everything. Oh, here's another thing, too. You know why I didn't sacrifice everything? Because he settled. He financially settled out of court. People who are part of a movement don't settle. It's not in their vocabulary. So let's also not forget that either. But I'll say this, for Nike, business is booming. Things are good. And I'll say this, too. If he did sign with a team, whatever team he signed with, it would be the number one selling jersey in the NFL. That I do admit. I would admit all that. There's no question. I don't doubt. But here's the thing. Let's look at the ledger. The ledger of the pros and the cons here. And I think that the cons far outweigh the pros.
Oh, I would agree. I think all these decisions, that's as simple as it is. You sit down with the pros and the cons, the risk and the reward, and you make a decision. And the financial one for most of these teams, unless they, you know, really want to be on the edge of being woke and being seen in a certain light, and they know their fans and their season ticket holders really, really well, I think the safe decision is, nope, he's not worth it. He's not good enough to really risk anything.
That's it. All right, and now we'll get back to your phone calls coming up after the break, but we're going to get Trend right now.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, the Patriots and Eagles, get ready. Tomorrow down in the city of brotherly love, 425, the Patriots come in as a 3.5-point favorite, which is exactly what they were favored over the Ravens prior to the bye, and we know what happened there. Notable Eagles injuries, Alshon Jeffrey, that's a loss. Nigel Bradham had been declared out, and Andy Hart think that this is the one that could really hurt them. Jordan Howard, their starting running back, is questionable. Now, they still have Miles Sanders, though.
Yes, but Miles Sanders is more of a James White type. He runs some, but he's more of a pass catcher. If you're looking for the ability to do what the Ravens did and just run the ball down their throat, Mark Ingram style, that you need Howard. And if Howard's not in and Jeffrey's already out, that really hurts the Eagles' chances.
No chance J.J. has a massive resurgence?
I guess there's always. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance,
but it's a small one.
Ajayi. These running backs are literally, I call them disposables. They're just disposables. That's all they are.
Not one of your best.
But I'm saying that.
What are you, Stallone with that Expendables movie?
No, Expendables.
I call them the disposables.
It's the most devalued position in football, and they're a dime a dozen disposables. You can find them anywhere. That's why you don't draft them in the first round.
All right, get with your trending.
Miles Garrett, you shut up, I will. He's been suspended indefinitely with his altercation where he swung a helmet and connected and struck Mason Rudolph on Thursday night. Marquise Pouncey was handed a 3-game suspension for his involvement. Wow, the season the Bees are red hot. Well, not the Bees, but the Cs are. They come back last night, down 5 with under 2 minutes to go, and finish the game on a 13-3 run, beating Golden State 105-100. They've won 10 games in a row. They're 10-1. They have the best record in the NBA, and I'll tell you, they haven't even missed a beat since Gordon Hayward has been out, and I don't think they will. And he'll
Gordonary
be out.
Hayward.
Yeah, they haven't missed a beat, man. They've been great. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, big shots in the clutch last night. They'll be back Monday night taking on the Kings in Sacramento. The Bruins finally ended a 4-game losing streak last night up in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. They will take on the Capitals at 7 o'clock tonight at TD Garden. We're Mark and Hart. We'll get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It's Mark and Hart, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll go right to the phones. Without any further ado, Mike in Portland is up next. What's up, Mike?
How we doing?
Hi.
Hey, so one thing I have on the Colin Kaepernick issue is that a lot of people don't realize that he actually sat on the bench before he knelt, before he kneeled.
Right. And then the Army Ranger who was with them was the one Nate, I forgot his last name. He was the one that I believe advised him to take a knee because it was less disrespectful.
Yeah, so I feel like he originally sat on the bench because he was benched for Blaine Gabbert, and then he took the opportunity to, you know, make this big spectacle out of everything.
Yep.
When originally I thought he was just a bad sportsman.
Yeah, Nate Boyer was the guy, too. That was his name.
Right.
But you know, so Mike, are you saying
so you don't
it was
believe
the right
any of
do?
It? You don't believe any of it. You believe this is all that he was sitting
contrived
to sulk basically because he was benched.
I believe it's a thing. He was upset about being benched, and then he took his opportunity to make something out of it when he knew he was benched and he wasn't good enough to play.
Hmm. Well, they were also talking his
diet. Right.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. His girlfriend, who's a morning host DJ on, I think she's on Hot 97 in New York City, and she, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is Muslim, and she also encouraged him to do it, so
yes.
That was another thing that he did.
And we all see that a lot, right?
I mean,
that's the reality of the world. I've known a lot of people who, men particularly, like friends or acquaintances, and then they start dating and or marry a person with very strong political views, and they sort of fall in line with those political views. I mean, have you seen that in your personal life? I feel like most people have.
Yeah, Nessa Diab is her name. I don't think he realized that what this would entail. You got to remember one thing, and this is another thing that bears repeating, that prior to him kneeling, Colin Kaepernick, is that he was about shirtless selfies on Instagram. That's all he did. He posted shirtless selfies
on
Instagram.
Aren't we all?
Oh, yes, sure.
I mean, if I had a body like that.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is that he was into just real superficial, sort of disingenuous, vapid things that had nothing to do with any type of movement, where all of a sudden he became the face of this. And it's like, yeah, and now he is, and the whole I'm with Cap thing that a lot of people.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't have the right to do it. I mean, like, if we just want to be superficial, I don't think there are two more qualified individuals in the Patriots locker room to be involved with the community and social justice.
Devin McCourty.
Correct. And Devin McCourty loves to come to his press conferences in, like, the quirkiest, weirdest, silliest T-shirts.
Peppa Pig.
Right? I mean, so you can't judge a book by its cover, to use the cliche. Right. I mean, there's more to the surface, and you can evolve. Like, if you want to be sort of just silly and stupid, and then all of a sudden, you know what? Like, I'm kind of growing up and I'm seeing the world is going in a direction I don't like it going. And I maybe have a position where I could share something or influence something. Right. I mean, you have that. You can go if Gronk wanted to. Gronk, oh, fun loving tight end. I spike. Maybe Gronk grows up and at 35 says, you know what? If I ran for office, I would win. People love me.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is an extreme example.
Ventura.
Jesse Ventura. Yeah, anybody. You can change who you are and where you want to go with the direction of your life. I mean, people throw out The Rock. I mean, we got a freaking president who was on a reality show.
Yeah.
You can try to change the way your life is going.
People want The Rock to run for president.
I think he'd win.
Yeah. Oh, he would definitely. I didn't need to have my vote.
Believe in something. Even if it means sacrificing everything.
I hated that line.
You didn't sacrifice everything. You settled.
He didn't write that.
No, I know. I know.
But he read it. Yeah. He read it, and he allowed himself to be in it. It's a little like Tom Brady. Like, you should know. It's your face. It's your you're delivering the line.
Believe in something.
But I don't know. I really don't know what to make of what he thought when this started, because I do think it went places that I don't think anybody could have envisioned.
Yeah, let me go back because I was at Radio City Music Hall for the 2011 NFL draft, and you look at the quarterbacks who came out of that class. Cam Newton was the number one pick. He won an MVP. He went to a Super Bowl, like Kaepernick, didn't win it. Then you had Jake Locker, Christian Ponder, who's now sort of like the new Nick Lachey, where he was the breadwinner and the famous one, and now he's going to be living off his wife because he sucked as an NFL quarterback. Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick. Oh, let's not forget the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton. That was an awful draft for quarterbacks. I mean, horrible. When you think about 2017, and you had Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Let's have some fun and play together. Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Win.
All right, this Kaepernick stuff, it's just crazy. Chuck and Braintree up next. What's up, Chuck? Oh, Chuck's gone. Let's go to Ralph up next in Cranston. What's up, Ralphie?
Hey, guys, good morning. I got to be honest with you. I find this disgusting. Absolutely. Look, here's a guy that was paid $62 million to go away, right? Let's be honest. You bought him. This all stopped. This Barnstorm stopped. Now the NFL feels they fear litigation so much. Let's give him a special showing. Let's sanction it. Fine. Who else does this? 9-10 games into the season. Now you're going to have this guy, people seeing this guy. You know, it was the wrong message to begin with. You know, education and being successful in life and earning it from the start. You know, my father, we grew up in a tenement. My father taught me you have to earn it. He started a business 7 years old. I went to work, but I learned my work ethic. My son goes to LaSalle. It cost me $22,000 with everything a year. Yes, if I didn't have the money, my son couldn't go. What would I say? Look, because he's white, he's being held out. You know, this doesn't make any sense. Kaepernick did all those horrible things, writing things on his shoe. Nobody will forgive him. He should just go away.
Well, Ralph, a lot of people feel, thanks for the phone call, a lot of people feel
the way
that
you do. There was a lot to one call there. There was a lot he packed into that phone call.
No, but you know what I like about Ralph? It's concise, succinct. He got to everything, and he...
Not sure it was accurate.
Well,
where'd he get the $62 million from? Because
I thought it was 39.
Well, there were reports of 80, and there were reports down to 10 that he split.
No. When they settled, he didn't get as much. Yeah, he did not get $62 million. I thought he was talking about the totality of his earnings in his career. And I said, oh, no, he did not get $62 million. There's no way the NFL. No, not at all. I would say maybe he got eight to 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's been a wide range reported. But more importantly, the NFL doesn't fear litigation. They settled the litigation already. Now, you could argue that this was a part of the settlement that, okay, we're not doing it immediately because we don't want it to seem obvious that down the road we're going to create this workout for you. I mean, I guess you could sell me on that. That's certainly Michael Irvin's belief, and he's tied into the NFL. He works for NFL media, so maybe he's heard something, you know, in the back room at NFL Network headquarters. So I still think it smells weird, but I also don't know. Are you going to change anybody's opinion at this point in time?
No.
In any way?
No.
Physically, what he is as a player, or morally, business-wise, what he is as a distraction. Is anybody's opinion going to change this afternoon in Atlanta?
No, but let me ask you this. Just, and you know, obviously, without being privy to seeing the workout, do you think any team will sign him coming out of this?
I don't, but we do have breaking news in this area, and something that I suggested he do, and he's doing it. According to Pro Football Talk, he is bringing his own group of receivers with him.
Oh, that's smart.
They did not name names, but that's what I would do, because I've argued, you know, I've compared this to the pro days we see for quarterbacks that are coming into the league, and
well,
a lot of
them. Very smart of him. And you know, I don't know this, I'm going to just sort of speculate, I bet you Michael Crabtree's one of them. He's out of a job. And
He knows him, right? Yep, there's a familiarity there. But that's key, because these guys that they skip the combine throwing and they throw on their own terms with their own receivers, with their own throwing coach scripting it. Yes, because you are going to get reports as early as tonight or as late as tomorrow morning about how this went. And you could get varied opinions on, well, you know, a lot of balls hit the ground. His arm, his accuracy was questionable. His footwork wasn't great. Or you might get the other side. Well, I mean, he looked really good. He looked like he still, his arm had some zip to it. His feet, he was bouncing all around. You're going to get some interesting reports out of this. And I would question where those reports come from. Who is going to, where am I going to get an objective opinion on this, right? Everything is going to be biased, I feel like, based on your preconceived notions of the message you want to send, which is why the other thing I've recommended to him, not only bring your own receivers, bring your own camera crew. Don't let the NFL be the only one that could edit the footage of this. Right. Bring your own camera crew and edit some highlights together in case you need to counter any leaked footage or any reports that say, you know, more than half his passes bounced on the ground. Okay, dude, did they really? Because I got my video that says more than half of my passes were on target and looked great.
That both of those are prudent things that he should do, and I'm sure the NFL should at least allow him to do that. Why not have your own camera crew? And
because he's being set up like a mofo.
Yeah, he is being set up. But the receiver part, I agree wholeheartedly. If you, because you know, and there could be talk like if they're just some guys from Georgia State or Brian Finneran, a former Falcons wide receiver who's been retired for like a decade, and these guys are dropping ball. Like, come on, man.
It's like fat and slow, and he throws a post, and the guy can't even get to where the ball is because he's so fat and slow.
I mean,
some guy like you.
No, well, I'm not fat.
Well, you're a little bit of a pot belly.
Sneaky.
You're one of those skinny fat guys, fat skinny guys.
Coming from a guy who's about as tall as Bagel Boy, I wouldn't be talking about physical appearances. One guy I would imagine that it may, if he's still in the Atlanta area, former Falcon wide receiver Roddy White. Maybe Roddy White's there. I don't know.
Antonio Brown, AB, what you doing?
Ooh, interesting.
I bet
you
the league wouldn't allow that.
You know what's funny, too? You're talking about weight, is that I think Wiggy one time said something to me about like that. I'm like, Wiggy, have you looked in the mirror? Have you, like, if you put five mirrors on you, dude, you wouldn't be thin.
Don't be nice. I mean, don't be mean. Be nice.
Well, I mean, it is.
Coast All right, fat sir. Shaming, not
Six
cool.
One, well, I don't know.
Oh, wait, someone, I just did it to you.
someone, a birdie told me the other day that Dale Arnold's on the Waken 360
easy.
Diet. He's gone back. No, whoa, wait a second. Easy. No, what do you mean easy? You're going to rank up me? Dale Arnold, people on, we've seen him on Nesson go, are you on a Waken 360? You back to being fat again? I mean,
bring
come
it,
on.
Bitch.
Hey, I'm not the one endorsing. I'm not the one. Hey, at least Rob Bradford sticks to the program. All right, 617-779-7937.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mark and Hart coming back to a little Mass Appeal by the late, great Gangstar, no longer with us. And I forgot, someone reminded me recently, Aim, it might have been you from Roxbury, right?
I don't think it was me, but someone did remind you of that.
Yeah, he's from Roxbury.
Oh, so, wasn't it Dakota during the...
Yeah, it was Dakota. That's Mad right. Rest in peace. Oh, speaking of Dakota from Braintree, thanks again for that. Holy crap.
10 Gs.
$10,000.
A tenth of what Fourier raised.
To Christian Fourier of the 100, he donated 10% of that. So what a It was just so great to be involved in that. And I, you know what's funny? Of all the different combinations of people I've ever worked with, I've been at EI for nearly 2 years. Do you know I never worked with Christian Fourier until the other night?
Yeah, because you filled in a lot on OMF, so that's kind of surprising.
Right. But Christian was never there when I was there. So, but it was great to work with him. And what a job. What a great job he did. And, you know, one of the things I learned, too, about diabetes, which I didn't realize is, you know, you obviously, if you've seen or you know someone or you know, have a friend or who knows, who maybe has a relative who has diabetes, that you know how important the insulin shots are. But I was unaware of the effects that if you don't get the proper amount in a certain allotted time, that, I mean, like, blindness is something, Christian, I don't think before Christian Fourier and his son Caleb, who's a 17-year-old senior right now, who's going to be attending CU like his dad in Boulder, Colorado next year, and he's going to be a Buffalo, is that I just don't think there's enough awareness and dedication that has been raised. And thankfully, Christian did this because, man, I tell you, I have a newfound respect and even more of appreciation because of things that I've learned for what Christian did over the course of those 25 and a half hours. I mean, I didn't know just some of the things that you have to deal with. It is a wow. You think you and he brought up as well. I didn't realize this. Did you know, Andy, that Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens has diabetes?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, he does. And he, like, you know, he has to, can you imagine? Like, so it's not something that is, you know, I mean, obviously it's an issue that you're going to have to confront and deal with, and you have to be certainly just totally dedicated. But, like, you, I mean, just imagine to play a professional sport as rigorous and violent as the NFL and have to deal with that.
Yeah, it takes over your life. And I thought the Ray Allen interview, his son,
Walker
yeah, has it. And just the way, you know, he was talking about how Walker is growing up and that, you know, sort of that idea that God doesn't give you more than you can handle and that these kids become more responsible, more mature at an earlier age, dealing with the issues and having to be sort of, he made a joke that, you know, the only kid that answers the phone is Walker when he calls the house. The other kids don't care. Like, they're yeah, young and immature, and Walker is a little more, you know, because he has to grow up faster. He has to, yeah, because if you screw up, it, not only blindness, it can be death. You can be dead. You know, I have a friend who has the whole insulin pump thing automatic, and it, you know, they malfunction every once in a while. And, like, your wife finds you, and she better find you soon enough.
Yeah.
Or you're dead. And, you know, it takes over your life. I was lucky enough. I coached a kid in Little League who has type 1 diabetes and learned at an early, you know, point sort of that it's such a big deal. And the mother, you know, she's always there with the snacks and the Gatorade. And he pitched for me, and we kind of had a sign he would give me if he wasn't feeling quite right, because I didn't want him to have to say, like, coach, you know, I need to check my blood sugar. Like, you don't, these are kids. They don't want to be the center of attention for those reasons. They just want to be normal kids. So we would just have sort of a little sign that thankfully he didn't have to use very much, but just sort of let me know that, you know, maybe you need a mound visit. Maybe we need to deal with something here, because it takes over your life.
When I call the house, Walker is the only one that would pick up the phone.
Right.
That was an unbelievable interview.
It was so good.
Oh, it was so. Ray Allen was, oh, wow. He's so good on the air. And he, just to talk about what he had to go through when the Celtics won the NBA Finals, and how one game he didn't even remember playing at the Staples Center, game 5 that they lost to the Lakers before they won it in game 6 back at TD Garden. And he just, like, I don't even remember, because all I could think about was Walker. I don't even remember that game. I don't even remember. My only concern was Walker. And Ray Allen, oh boy, he has done a great job. I just thought, I tell you, you know, getting, when you can get people like Ray Allen, Larry Bird, Tom Brady, and Bobby Orr to come on and raise awareness in $100,000 in a 25-hour span, dude, that's awesome. And I just, on behalf of WEI and Entercom Boston, I just want to thank everybody in New England, and Andy does as well, and Eamon. That was just congratulations not only to Christian, but to you guys for really chipping in and making this a communal effort for a great cause. And, you know, and you know what? In some way, it's like, yep, it, at first you look at it as, you know, it's like if you're a kid, if you're Walker or you're, you know, Caleb Fourier and you're that young. And it's like, like if I were their age, oh, my God, like I can only imagine like why I would play the woe is me why card. Right.
You no play question.
It. But then after a while, it's like you deal with it, you confront it, and then you look at it and eventually you take it as it becomes a blessing. And then maybe, just maybe through your efforts and what you have to go through, that you're going to help the next person who might have to go through the same thing, and maybe to make their lives better, say, hey, listen, you know what? Everybody deserves kudos, including Dakota from Braintree and everybody who donated. It was fun. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We promise we'll get nothing but your phone calls on the other side. This show's flying by, too, by the way. 2 hours down, two to go. 617-779-7937. Coming back right after this, we'll get to more Kaepernick. Oh, by the way, the Patriots have a game tomorrow against the Eagles, which seems to almost become sort of like a side story with this Kaepernick, Miles Garrett, Don Cherry stuff. But we'll get to all that and more coming up next on Mark and Hart.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.